Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to Extra Points, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with my good, good, dear pal, Dave Damashek, on Wednesday morning, June 30th, the day after the NBA officially fell off a ledge and cracked its knee backwards. We're awaiting reports on the MRI of how that collective knee for the NBA. Oh, my God. Shaq, I don't know. What are we watching anymore? Put an end to it. Put an end to it in the biggest asterisk season of all time. Has to be.
Take it out back, put a bullet in it, and let's just start fresh. You know, like they have mulligans in golf after you take your tee shot. Let's just mulligan these entire, whatever, it's been 6-7 weeks now, and start nice and fresh. And I really think that the sports society would appreciate if we restart it. Like, let's take a few days, restart. We could squeeze it all in before NFL regular season. And I think we would all appreciate some excuse not to have to watch preseason football in the meantime. Are we going to do? This is going to count. This is going to count in history. Whoever wins this title, it's ridiculous. All right.
I say, but get to the finals, somehow limp, coast into the finals and make it single elimination. That's it. One game. Just do it like the NCAA tournament. Enough is enough. I mean, yesterday, so we find out right before the game that Trae Young is out. He had that bum ankle. I don't know. ESPN reported that he was shooting fine during the day. He looked good. And then he's like, no, he's out. He can't. No mobility at all. It's like, well, that sucks. The line only goes up to 9. They were a 7-point favorite, the Bucks. Only goes up to 9. I think because the odds makers, people smarter than us, FanDuel out there, kind of thought that he wasn't going to play anyway. So only moves up a couple points. Atlanta comes out on fire, much to our pleasure. 10-2. They win the race to 10, Shaq. We did it again. Brother Brian called it.
Yes. The only one that wasn't fun was the one that I was on.
I know. What happened there? And that was the one Harry picked.
Harry made a terrible pick, and that spoiled it before we could even begin. But yeah.
Yeah. We can't overcome the combination of Harry and Shaq there in terms of jinxing us in some of these basketball games and these picks. But yeah, 10-2. Martin Weiss was on a 40-second delay. So it wasn't as much fun for him to watch us celebrate or recall the plays as he was getting it like a minute later. But then the third quarter, they're between 3 and 10 points, somewhere in there. Atlanta still has the lead. Giannis goes down on his knee, bent back. Bad. Like I said, we're waiting the news. He's got to be out for the playoffs, right? I mean, did you watch that? Did you
see? Yes, of course. And you would think it's over for him. But again, what is a weird phenomenon that fans just have to come to grips with this. I said before this game, when Trae Young was announced as out, I mean, it is something. It doesn't mean anything. I don't think that they're going to act on my idea that you collect all the did not plays because of injury. But when you look at the lineup that you could throw out onto the court from the guys that have been hurt, from Anthony Davis to Kyrie Irving to Jamal Murray on down, now throw Giannis into the mix, and it would obliterate anything that anybody's actually putting out onto the court right now. But I don't understand why the national media. I mean, did you watch Barkley and company after the thing or while it was going on? They were like, boy, the Bucks just didn't show up to play tonight. It's like Giannis went out in the third quarter. Yeah, they were definitely flat in the first half, but they were making their push. They'd gotten it within 8 when Giannis hurts his knee. Didn't you think they were about to win the game?
I don't know. They like I said, they'd cut it to 3 and then it would go to 8 and 10. They didn't jump out like I thought they would. They weren't looking for blood. I completely agree with that.
But I do think they would. I mean, easy to say, but I think they complete the rally and all is right in the world if Giannis isn't hurt. But as it is now, really, nobody ever stops to acknowledge that Trae Young was out. Nobody talks about the Lakers didn't have Anthony Davis on down. I don't know. How's history gonna recall this year? People talked about the bubble a year ago. This is way worse. This is going to be the weirdest title in NBA history for sure.
The odds now, FanDuel has odds. Now, the Bucks were a big favorite. Well, not a big favorite, but to win the whole thing before yesterday. Now, the Suns, -165. The Suns were like 3-1 to win it. Now they're minus 165. Bucks plus 450. Hawks plus 550. Clippers 7-1. I don't know. I might take a chance on one of, or both of those last two teams. Bucks are a 2.5-point favorite in game five. We look at tonight. Suns at the Clippers. Suns are laying a point. The over-under is 215. Yeah, Chris Paul is the only superstar that's healthy out of the four teams, and he can't shoot. He's 19 for 60 in the conference finals, 32%, 2 for 16 from three, and the COVID effects are you know, rearing their ugly head, I think. I don't know what it is with that team, and yet the Suns could wrap it up and make it to the finals tonight. It seems maybe too easy to take the Clippers here, plus one.
Well, you know, I go the other way on that. It is weird that Chris Paul, who's the most injury prone, I guess, of all superstars in the NBA, or at least in that conversation, is the one who has survived what looked like a playoff ending injury now 3 or 4 weeks ago. Then even 2 nights ago, he falls on the foot of Beverly. That was a crazy looking thing, too. The way the base of his spine landed on the shoe, and it bounced, his buttocks bounced like a basketball off the shoe of Beverly, and he's okay, and he comes through COVID, and that's the difference. That's why the Suns are going to end up being your NBA champion this year, because Chris Paul didn't get hurt. But don't they have to remove Chris Paul for out of a sense of fairness? Isn't this what Commish Silver needs step in and do and say, listen, fair's fair. You can't have all your guys. We got to even the playing field a little bit. Chris Paul, you're out.
Well, they did have Devin Booker, who was forced to wear a mask a game ago or a couple games ago. So they're trying.
This is ridiculous. You're right.
The Suns are trying.
Devin Booker has a mask on his face. Like, this is insane. These playoffs are absurd already. And by the way, how much are we supposed to celebrate a Suns team? Because they are going to win the title now. And how much are we supposed to celebrate the Suns, who can't beat the Kawhi-less Clippers? I mean, that's a pretty sad minimum standard.
Doesn't matter. Hey, Dave, if you've been watching the NBA playoffs from the sidelines, and it sounds like you have, it would be pretty weird for you to have.
I may have
knowledge
to play in them, not from the sidelines, but based on the attrition, I may well be starting for one of these teams.
Yeah, I think you're up soon. Now's the perfect time to get in on the action with FanDuel Sportsbook, because during the conference finals, new users get 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. There are even more ways to win on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Different deposit options, so you know your dollars are safe. Getting your money is a layup. You'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up with promo code Extra Points to bet the NBA Conference Finals with 30-1 odds. 30-1, there's a little less of a risk there, Shaq, right? Like, you're not as upset if the Bucks, as a 9-point favorite, lose if you have them at 30-1 odds. But God bless FanDuel for doing it. Once again, that's promo code Extra Points to unlock 30-1 on any playoff team to win their next game, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You know what? I'm going to give a pick here real quick. I've had luck with this, which means it'll probably run out today. Marcus Morris for the Clippers. He went nuts. What did he have, 22 points? I think he had 22 points.
Most of them in the first half, yeah.
Went nuts. And his over-under is 13.5, but his previous five games, 7 points, 6 points, 7 points, 8 points, 4 points. So they can't make it his average, like, which is right in that 6-7 range. They have to make it somewhere between that and the 22. I did this with Terrence Mann. I think I did this with Cameron Payne. Those guys came off huge, huge games, and I bet the under on their player point total. Fringe players playing out of their minds. I like them to revert to the mean. I'm going Marcus Morris under 13.5 points, minus 106. That's tonight. Check. What do you like?
I hear you on that one. I'm not going to express too much cynicism about it, but you know that when you take Kawhi off the floor, then all of a sudden the equation of who has to provide points, they're not going to score 57 points over the course.
He's been off
minutes.
The floor for all those games I just mentioned, but okay.
I'm just going to straight up. I don't know. What are we betting on here? Oh, by the way, this tournament has now been reduced to who GMs best, right? Because it's basically like we're taking your best player off the floor, and now it's a tournament of supporting players against supporting players, and who has the best group out of that. Save the Suns. They still have their best three players on the floor by, I don't know what, by hook or by crook, how they won with the basketball gods. The Suns will win in Los Angeles tonight against the Clippers. Lay that 1 point. Suns move on to the finals.
Wow. All right.
How interesting it is, I don't know, for anybody, but come on already. I mean, they don't have Kawhi. When are the Suns going to notice this already? You should whip this team. I know Playoff P has in fact lived up to his self-given nickname, but it's enough already.
I think it's definitely enough already. The Suns, if they do win tonight, they wrap it up. I can't remember. They could have at least a week off, I think is how it goes. And who the hell doesn't want a week off at this point? I don't know what to say about this, Shaq. It's like, well, the players, they weren't rested enough. It's like, well, they had off from March to July last year. They played, 32 games? And then they had a couple of months. I think it's flukier than anything, right? So I don't know what we learn from this or how we correct it, but gigantic asterisk, way bigger asterisk than the bubble season, I think.
It is right. It's hard to fathom the amount of injuries, but yeah. but like you say, the fluke factor of it. You know, LeBron and whatever can say what he wants. He's self-validating that he said. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't, you know, that this is bad going into the season. So now I hear all these injuries. So he can say, see, I was right. I don't really buy that one. But specifically with Giannis, look at that injury. You on one hand, you say, what is going on? The apocalypse of injuries. On the other hand, when you look at the Giannis injury, you think, why doesn't that happen somewhere between 7 and 23 times a game? That these giant string beans collide and land with force after jumping 5 feet into the air, that they don't land on each other more and destroy their ankles and knees.
I think it's like grenades. Like they just kind of know where not to land, or it can't all be luck, because I think you would almost always land on an opponent's sneaker. I mean, that paint gets pretty clogged up, right? A lot of feet, a lot of gigantic feet in the mix there. You would think they would land on each other's feet and twist an ankle.
Yes. It's the same thing when you watch offensive linemen get pushed the way they move, that they don't rip their knees more.
Yeah.
See what I'm trying to do is be glass half full and say, see, there could be a lot more injuries and we should be thankful that there aren't so many.
That's
true. I mean, okay. Just all time weirdo stuff. And it's terrible times. I don't know. How are we going to remember this one? The answer is we'll just look at it as a weird anomaly 20 years from now. And we'll say,
yep,
the Phoenix Suns, huh? They remember when they won that title? That was weird.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of all time weirdo moments, we got a great guest coming up here.
Ooh.
All right, Dave, he's here. Our guest today, he gave new meaning to the term betting on yourself on Saturday at UFC Fight Night 190. He also might have become my new favorite MMA fighter and maybe even my new best friend, Justin Guitar Hero James. Thanks for being here, Justin.
Hey, no worries, man. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Well, let me recap what you did here. I mean, you're a lunatic. You belong in our stable of buddies here, because what you did was you made $25,000 on your last fight against Charles Rosa, right? Saturday night?
It was a little less than that, but yes, it was around 20,000.
Okay, yeah. Around 20,000. And of that 20,000, you were so confident that you would win. What did you then go and do?
I took my paycheck and I let it roll, man. I let it run. And you know what? I came up a little short and fucking sucks, but it is what it is, man. No regrets. You know what? I really believed that, you know, that I was going to win this fight, man. I thought the stars lined up perfect.
I, man,
my training camp was incredible. You know, my game plan I thought was flawless. You know, it was just one of those situations to where I was in great shape. I was in a great headspace. I really just did not see me losing this fight in any situation.
Well, first of all, let me just say, I love that you did this. You believed in yourself. You were confident. I wish more athletes did this. You bet your entire purse, and not just like a purse. Now you're not wearing a purse, although it'd be interesting if MMA fighters wore purses in the ring. No shoes, but purses. You bet your entire salary for the night on yourself. And did anyone try to talk you out of this?
No, you know, it's, I did it really on kind of on the down low, to be honest. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't expect to get any publicity on it. You know, I know a lot of people are saying this is fake and it's a publicity stunt. And, you know, it's Chael Sonnen came out with a video talking about how he's not sold by it. You know what? I didn't want to have to go to all my bookies and have to start pulling my shit right now. But, you know, I just lost all my whole paycheck, you know, and I think the biggest thing, and people don't know me, you know, so I guess if you don't know me, I mean, it makes sense, but this was not a publicity stunt and this fucking sucks, but it is what it is.
Shaq, how great is this, Shaq? This is terrible, right? I'm looking at him here. He doesn't look like he comes from like a blue blood, like your mother was an investment banker on the New York Stock Exchange or anything. I feel like, I don't know your background, but you could probably use that money, right? You didn't care. You let it fly.
You know what? Like I said, again, you know, leading up to this fight, I just thought the stars lined up perfect, man. Yeah. Like I said, everything was too perfect and very rarely in my fighting career do things line up that perfect. Like I said, and hats off to Charles Rosa. It's a great fight.
Off to him? He didn't bet a dime on himself. I say no, hats off to him.
That's true. And you know, that was one thing, like he made a meme talking about, oh, you made the wrong bet. And I messaged him. I was like, you bet fucking half your purse on yourself. And you know, he never responded. So like I said, back to it, at the end of the day, I mean, 20 grand is a lot of money, man. It's definitely could have helped. But you know what? I was broke before my fight. I'm broke after my fight. Life goes on.
I think it's marvelous. And I think that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and their golf tournament thing that they have coming up here, it would be much more interesting if they had to put their own loot up. If everybody had to pony up like $5 million each, then we would see some real stakes there. I hail you as a hero. But you may have heard Pete Rose got some heat within his own sport. In fact, he's not even allowed in their Hall of Fame because he committed the sin of betting on his team. This is the ultimate act of faith. You bet on yourself. Did Dana White or does anybody else weigh in and say like, hey, bad look? Or is this the difference between the two sports that MMA is like, yeah, this is awesome that you bet on yourself?
You know, I have no, my boss hasn't reached out to me at all yet. You know, it's in combat sports and one-on-one in boxing, you know, you're allowed to bet on yourself. You just cannot bet on the outcome. I can't bet on like, oh, I'm going to knock on the first round or I'm going to submit.
Specific,
it.
Right.
Specific. I can't take the over. I can't take the under. Mm-hmm. But I can't pick the win. And, you know, that's why I know I was a dog. And, you know, when you're in Vegas, you know, you can't just go on a prelim undercard with 25 grand cash. Plus, I don't have 25 grand cash, you know, sitting around. So there's a lot of bookies in Vegas. All my bets were done through credit. I've paid off my dues. You know, Eric Nixick, I'm sure you heard of Eric Nixick. You know, he was one of the guys that I bet through. He'll vouch for me. A guy named TJ, professional poker player at Extreme Couture. I bet through him. He'll vouch for me. Aaron O'Rourke, another professional poker player who, you know, I was able to get, you know, over 10 grand in credit with. He'll vouch for me, man. It's actually disgusting how much flack I've got of people that don't believe it. And at the end of the day, it doesn't affect them at all. And it affects me. And you know what? Like I said, dude, it is what it is. I was broke before. I'm broke now. I'll figure it out. Not stressed about it. All in a day, man. It's, you know, we're here to go.
You know, by the way, I love that 2 days after the fight now, 2-3 days after, you are now defending the fact that you actually bet on yourself rather than defending the fact that you won the fight. Like, I watched the fight. I really think you won rounds 1 and 3. Round one was close. Toss up round, but I would give you the edge. I think you had the harder strikes and the more impressive, you know, you moved the action, you took it to him forward. Round three, you almost choked him out. You had that super overhand left. I think for sure you win round three. And Shaq, Adelaide Bird, by the way, gives Rosa, Justin's opponent, all three rounds. Of course, Adelaide Bird, notoriously bad judge, gives Rosa all three rounds. This is what I would be upset about. Like, not that you you have to prove that you bet the fight, but that you won the fight.
Yeah, man. But again, it doesn't matter. You know, if I've had 1,000 people message me and just say the same thing you said is, you know, it's crazy 30-27, but at the end of the day, you know, it's not like I can go appeal it. You know, I'm rather disgusted with the judges. You know, 29-28, I mean, I guess I can see it. There was a couple close rounds there. But man, 30-27, it's
yeah, it's bad.
It's a slap in the face, and it's a slap in my own face of all the hard work, blood, sweat, and tears I've put in over the last couple weeks. You know, like I said, the first round, yeah, he threw volume, but I would never was in danger at any time. And in the grappling exchanges and the punching exchanges, and I know that I cracked him in the first round. I know that I cracked him in the third. You know, they're like, oh, well, he took you down in the first. Yeah, that's true, but I reversed him within 15 seconds, you know, and I finished top. He threw – it was weird because when I was on top, he kind of like went to push off, glanced off my head, and the referee said something. So I kind of like stopped moving for a second because I thought there was going to be a foul there, but he didn't. And again, I still finished. I don't know, man. I'm super salty about it. You know what?
So you're saying the referee bet on Rosa. I see. Now. This is interesting. Wow.
Mike Beltran, you bet on Charles Rosa. I know it, you son of a gun. No.
Check, you brought up Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, but the difference is it should be enough incentive that you just need to stay alive in this, right? And then you go and bet, right? Check, what were you going to say?
Sorry. I bet I don't die. Yeah, that would be my bet if I were betting on myself in MMA. Yeah. Although I would probably bet on myself to die. That would be the smarter play.
Yeah.
I like the idea, though, of you walking. I'm bummed to hear that your transaction was, if I follow you, over the phone. I like better the idea of you physically walking into a sports book and placing the bet on yourself. I think that would be the stuff of legend. Did you do that? $25,000 on who? On me, friend. Like that would be that didn't happen though. Let's figure out, Sal. Let's help Justin make some loot, or maybe Justin can help make us some loot here. What's a good way for him to make a little bit of loot? I mean, you're in Vegas, right, Justin?
Yeah, I'm in Vegas.
You going to bet on the Raiders to win the AFC West?
Ooh, well, no.
Go ahead.
Let's do something more immediate in tonight, Justin. What do you like? Are you watching following the basketball at all? I'll put a $100 free bet on you and we'll Venmo you the winnings if and when it happens. So, hopefully no corrupt judges get involved.
You know, I got the early one of the rest. I got 100 in to win 1300. I got a plus 1300
for the Suns
NBA title. I got it recently to win the title at plus 500. So I put a couple hundred in there.
Oh, you're all over.
Then I got the Lions, the Detroit Lions. I took the over
season
at 5 at plus 110. So I think I got 500 on that right now. So for upcoming bets, I turned off my app right now. I need to stay away from betting overall.
All right, we'll handle it for you. Oh my God, you're betting the
You, Sal, help me out after the fact, after we finish this up here, whatever that list of bets he's making, please bet the opposite on every single one.
Yeah, bet the opposite. I always tell everybody that, man. Whatever I bet, bet the opposite.
He must know that Aaron Rodgers is going to Denver or something to take that Lions bet. All right, we're going to put $100 on the Suns for you through FanDuel. Minus one tonight. And my good Lord, I just can't believe it. You know, and it just occurred to me as you said it, like it's not like you were paid for the fight and then you took the money. You had to scrounge up money, albeit it sounds like some of it was on credit, to bet on yourself, right? It's not like you had they hand you a wad of cash and then you just transferred it to somebody else. You had to start. No, you didn't get paid yet.
All credit. The UFC is really diligent about paying their fighters pretty quick. Right. I got paid on Tuesday, and I had some cash laying around. So the bookies that needed the money on Monday, I got it to them, and then I'll pay the rest off yesterday and today.
Will you do this again? Can you see yourself doing this again?
I mean, it just depends on if you were to call me and say, "Hey, you're rematching Charles Rosa," I would do it again. I think that's a I really, again, didn't see where he could exploit me in any holes. I mean, obviously he did. I'd like to say I would do it again, but I need to dig myself out of this hole before I think.
I mean, shouldn't it be winner take all? I mean, shouldn't there be a rematch and it's that easy? Then we don't have to worry about personal ethics and morality of like, are you willing to do it? Just that's it. Everybody, like the purse goes fully to the guy who wins it, right? Are you down for that?
I'd be down with it.
Right, yeah, but check. But the problem is it's got to be, it almost has to go to knockout or submission because otherwise you're at the mercy of these judges and it sucks. Like you could have won all three rounds and they might have still given it to him, right? That's why it's hard to trust anything.
And that would be the hesitation again. Like I said, Charles put up a great fight, but it just, you know, I think I'd like to think if I was an MMA judge, I'd score it on who's trying to finish the fight. And, you know, I know I'm criticized by taking him down late in the fight. You know, after rewatching the fight, I didn't realize he was as hurt as he was. I thought for sure, I knew he was hurt and I knew he was tired. But, you know, I thought if I took him down, I could sub him. I went for the sub. You know, it wasn't like I took him down to just lay on him to finish the round. Like, I took him down with the intent to finish. And, you know, unfortunately, maybe it was a crucial error, but, you know.
Yeah, I didn't get that criticism. I mean, if you think rightly that you won the first round, you take them down, you're working towards winning the third round, and that should be enough to take the fight. I don't know why everyone's like, oh boy, he went for the takedown. It's like, I don't know. To me, you just had to win the second of three rounds, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Instead of MMA, then, if it's too tricky to do MMA, let's do it either golf, like, you know, like Brady and Mickelson and those guys are doing, or eating contest. How about that? Shit. Like, it's the hot dog eating weekend upcoming.
That's true.
Maybe we could do that.
That's true.
I'm pretty solid at eating, man. I tell you what, I go up to, you know, 180, 190 pounds, man. I love my food. I love my beer. Let's go, man.
Sal, take him on.
No, but those days are over for me. I mean, what you might want to do here, I'm realizing now you have this much money on the Suns. I think you just grab some idiot with a chain, beat the shit out of him, and hold up seven fingers, say Suns and seven. You could be the new Suns and whatever guy, sell t-shirts, at least get the money back that way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right. Well, Justin, you've said it all. This was terrific. Guitar Hero. You know what? You're our hero. And you have an automatic entry into our Degenerate Gamblers Hall of Fame in Pahrump, Nevada. You're in Vegas, so it's only a little bit, a couple hours drive away. But congratulations.
Hero! Hero!
He really is.
Pay attention, all you multimillionaire jerks. This is the way you do it. You bet on yourself or shame the devil.
Yes, sir.
All right, Justin, root for the Suns. I know you are anyway. Minus one tonight, and we put that bet in for you. Good job by you, Justin. Thanks for coming up.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. I mean, that's amazing, Check, right?
I'm not jiving. I want him to provide gambling tips going forward here. I mean, he's in on the Lions. We didn't even find out if he was in on the local hockey team, the Golden Knights. But yes, this is, I like this. Can we also do like a Venmo? Your $100 is just the tip of the iceberg. What if everybody had extra points? What if we all start throwing in and build up a heap of loot for Justin to win for his heroic deed over
the
weekend.
I agree. You know what? Maybe we'll do that for his next fight. He seems game. I mean, I can't believe I've never really met anyone like that. He seems like, I came. It's the old game show thing. Like, I remember seeing people on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, like passing up the $250,000. Like, you know what? I came here with nothing and I'll leave with nothing. It's like, no, that's not the point. But God bless him. That's a great gambler's mentality. And I love it.
Let's make the fight, Sal. You've done it. You've done it all in show business. The only thing you haven't done yet is make a fight. I think that'll complete your career if you can do that.
You're right.
Winner take all bout MMA.
There's got to be a
eating competition.
There's got to be a Paul we don't know about that he could kick the crap out of. Maybe
Chris Paul.
Chris? Okay.
Right. Yeah. If things go wrong against the Clippers, he's going to have some free time.
Aaron Paul. If I'm Aaron Paul, by the way, I start working out. I claim to be a brother, one of the Paul brothers, and get involved in all this nonsense. I'm telling you, we have to have that mentality, Sheck. We have to do it. Bet on yourself. I love it.
Okay, bet on. Yeah, I think the takeaway is bet on yourself, but don't ever bet on the Detroit Lions.
That's true, man.
What the hell is he doing, man? See, he's destructive.
I agree. Bet on yourself so long as yourself is Floyd Mayweather and you're handpicking opponents. Yeah.
No, Jared Goff. That's what he's doing. Yeah. Listen, that's the bottom line. Dynamite stuff. And I hope everybody follows his lead, including you, Jared Goff. If Justin James can bet on your Lions, then you should bet on yourself too.
Yes.
Wonder how that would go over with Goodell.
And then we have, I know. Oh, he would love it. He's embraced this from the beginning. But anyway, we have $100 on Justin James' behalf on the Phoenix Suns. Your pick too, Shaq. Oh, I don't know how this is going to work out.
What am I? I mean, I don't know. You keep beating me with these picks, so obviously you're sharper than I am.
I'm not beating you. What did I have? The Royals? Oh man, the Royals were up 5-1. I thought over the Red Sox. I thought we'd catch them on a little break after that Yankee series, and they freaking blew it. And not only that, I had the Red Sox under 5.5 runs. I bet that separately, and they win 6-5. It's the worst result for having those two bets. And then you had, who did you have? Monday. I can't remember.
I had the Suns.
Oh, right. The Suns. Okay. So you're bouncing back with them and we have a bet for Justin. Now let's go to the NHL. Montreal, Tampa Bay. I know you want to declare this over. You think it's done. Tampa Bay, you're asking me all different ways. How do you bet this Lightning team? I'm like, I don't know. Now they're a prohibitive favorite to win the whole thing. They were
Lightning are going to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, I don't know how you watch game one and come away feeling
who the hell knows that. Maybe this injury bug will hit the NHL all of a sudden, but let's take a look. So Tampa is -215. The take back is +180. I'll tell you what, I am going Canadians. I didn't see the over under for goals. I think they score over a goal and a half.
I think it's 5.5.
That's my no, but the team, just their team total, that specifically, I think they score over a goal and a half at -160. But I'm not seeing that. I'm going to jump on first period, also -160. Not great. I'm not giving you a great vig there. Plus a half a goal in the first period. I think they at least keep it even. Carey has a big game here. What was it, 22 for 27 or something last game? Not the case in game two. Remember, Shaq, they lost 4-1. To the Knights, who are an overwhelming favorite for the series, and then they got their shit together and they trounced them. You're going Tampa Bay here.
I am. I'm going to go again with the skill that the Tampa has here. We're going to go back to back with the Lightning hoisting the Stanley Cup here. It's just a matter of how many games it's going to take them. I'm going to stick with my pick of a sweep here. I like them by the goal and a half. Tonight, I'm interested. I'm trying to find the right player to go with a goal tonight. Braden Point hasn't had a goal in a couple of games. He did have three assists in game one there.
Yeah.
I don't love in terms of points. He's -174 to go over half a point there. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to bet on him for a goal. I feel like just randomly, Tyler Johnson hasn't had a goal in five games. Now he's +550. I feel like he has a chance to get off the schneid a little bit, but that's a little bit of a reach there. I'm just going to stick with my pick of Tampa to sweep here. Do you say that's the best value I can get? If I'm certain that the Lightning are going to win the cup, that's the best way to keep doing it and hedge as I go.
Because the problem is, well, which games does Tampa lose? If you just go game by game, and you still think Tampa will get three wins before Montreal gets four. Yeah, sure, that's good in theory, but you have to lose the right games. You can't lose a home game where you're a -220 favorite. That'll screw up your game by game thing. So yeah, if you think this is a quick series, bet it as a sweep. And then if it gets to 3-0, bet Montreal, right?
So people in my boat, which is that I think I think Tampa's going to keep making a short series. The major game is tonight then, right?
That's right.
Because if they get the 2-0, I can hedge from there, right?
Yes, because there'll be about even odds in the games in Montreal. So I think I think we're saying the same thing.
I mean, I don't know what everybody's so excited about Carey Price and their top four defensemen. That's fine.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, even in a season with Colorado and Vegas and Pittsburgh lighting it up, Tampa Bay with Kucherov is perhaps mm-hmm. still the most talented team in the league, and they will show it once again in game two.
Spaghetti,
now, believe me later.
Jump in real quick, pick for game two.
This is definitely a Canadiens victory tonight. Alex Killorn is going to be out for the Lightning, and Joel Armia is back in for the Canadiens. And like I've been saying, Carey Price will steal a game eventually, so I want to keep saying that and keep pounding the table until he finally does. But I like the Habs in game two here.
All right, Meatballs, what do you think?
I'm going to go Nick Suzuki over half a power play point, +300.
Ooh. I had not seen these power play point things before. I guess they've been up, right?
Yeah.
Power play points, that's crazy. I mean, you could not have a power play, right? So that's It's interesting how that works out. All right. And Biden made a bet, although we don't even know what the bet is. You talked about it with Bonetta. Biden and Trudeau made a bet, right?
It what was do just you like, think, Sal? What, I mean, I think like it really is a brutally hot summer, you know, a historically steamy one. I think taking away air conditioning from either Canada or the U.S. would be too severe. No movies, though. How about a week? You're not allowed to watch any movies on TV. You're not allowed to go to the theaters or otherwise. I think that'd be a pretty stiff penalty.
That's good. I don't know. I don't think stiff enough. And, you know, maybe how about this? How about 500,000 vaccines?
Oh, see, that's that's stakes. I like that.
Right.
That's very good. That's very
I feel like we have a few to burn more than Canada and most nations. But I don't know. Or maybe we put up. Especially with the Lightning being a favorite, we'll put up 500,000 vaccines. You have to give us 100,000 if the Canadians win. So that then there's odds or something.
Or like Bonetta and I talked about, what about we get the other nation, the losing nation's best athlete?
I like that too.
So like we put the Connor McDavid on the Pittsburgh Penguins as a for instance.
Yeah, or we get to claim like John Candy as our own or something like that forever.
I just watched Stripes.
Yeah,
as I do anytime I come across it, he steals the picture again. He did it once again to Bill Murray and the rest of the gang. But these bets that these unnecessary bets that people are throwing out, non-monetary ones. How about Eddie Spaghetti did it again on -3? He says now if Aaron Rodgers isn't on the Packers.
I think Eddie's just done with sports.
He's not going to watch the Yankees in the postseason. Great news. The Yankees aren't going to be in the postseason.
Yeah.
But I have to root for the Yankees to make the postseason and for Aaron Rodgers to get traded. So Eddie Spaghetti has to spend autumn 2021 not watching the Giants or the Yankees.
And Spaghetti, Shaq is right in that we are going to have to hold you to it. If you can't just keep making these proclamations. You're going to have to not watch the Yankees in the postseason. Not a bad bet at this point, but as he points out. But you're really ready to sit it out, huh?
I'm ready because I feel confident in my Rodgers pick. It's June 30th at the time of this recording. I mean, August 12th is the first preseason game. So to me, it's how is Rodgers going to move to a different team, learn a new system within a month, have to play in a game. Also, the Broncos are the 9th pick in the draft. Why are the Packers chancing get a worse pick if they're going to move Aaron Rodgers? It makes zero sense.
I've said this too.
To be moved next season.
I've said this too. I think he's staying with Green Bay. But do you also have the option that he doesn't play, or that is it just that he doesn't end up with Denver? Because I think you need that too. That's also a possibility. I think you need that coupled with the Packers starting for the Packers angle.
I just said that he would just be a member of the Packers. I said he's not switching teams. All right.
Here's the thing, Sal. Yeah. This is what was made pretty clear when I was talking to him about this.
Mm-hmm.
Part of his bet is that he doesn't really know Sal. I said, listen, you start throwing stuff, this sort of crap out like this, you think people aren't going to hold you to it. How's anybody going to make you not watch the New York Giants?
Yeah.
How's anybody going to make that happen? Like, oh, Sal's going to really bother to do that? Let me just say this. Sal, our friend Fat Jake, once we were in a car and it was time to drop Jake off because Jake had something to do the next morning and we were getting dropped off at the Kimmel back lot. And Jake said, oh, I have to, you know, good. I'm glad it's time for me to go home because I got to wake up early. And Sal then locked the doors and then drove around for hours and hours.
Yeah.
Why? Because Jake had somewhere to be. Sal had somewhere to be, too. But that didn't matter to Sal. He's the ultimate. Just like Justin James betting on himself. Sal is willing to sacrifice. You see, he wasted his entire night just driving Fat Jake around. Why? I don't know why. I guess to punish Fat Jake. Similarly, in Vegas once, there were four of us sharing two queen beds in a Vegas hotel room, and I expressed excitement after maybe being out too late the night before. I needed a good night of sleep. I was excited to lay down
in
and
Vegas.
Go to bed.
He needed a good night of sleep.
I know it was dumb.
Yeah.
But I was in bed with one guy and Sal was in the bed with the other guy. And as I laid down and was looking forward to my night of sleep, Sal decided there would be no sleep for me. And he jumped in between me and the other guy And and then I was like, damn you, Sal. And so I went into the other bed, and then Sal jumped into that bed with me. And then I realized I was never going to be alone in a bed. Sal slept, three of us, in a queen size bed. Was he comfortable? Did he get a wink of sleep? No was the answer to that. But that's what he's willing to do. And I can assure you, if Sal knows that you're not allowed to watch the Giants, he will not watch the Cowboys. He won't be able to follow any of his bets if it means depriving you of watching the Giants. Is that fair, Sal, to say?
It is fair. And also, check, you won't have this problem because you're staying at Bally's with babyface Joel Solomon and our friend Harry. So rest assured, you'll be able to rest assured in next month when we go out there. But I would think even if he doesn't know me, just the verbal abuse he knows he's going to take over this, right, would not be worth it, right? Even if he does try to sneak a peek at Aaron Judge in the postseason.
I mean, I don't know why. It's just really, that's the tragedy of it. Mm. Why did Eddie Spaghetti volunteer that he won't watch the New York Giants this year because of who Tom Brady MF'd? Why he did that, I don't know. I don't know what was going on in his head, but what's done is done. And when we find out who Brady was talking about, and we will find it out, it's looking more and more like it was the Las Vegas Raiders and Derek Carr.
Yeah. And then he's going to be like, oh, I was just kidding, though. I love Derek Carr. Here are pictures of us vacationing together. It's like, oh, you were just MFing to sound cool in front of LeBron's friends? Like, yeah, that's it. I never want to play with the Raiders. Here's what I'll say. One more thing about Fat Jake and me sabotaging something that affects me directly. Fat Jake was the writer on a hidden camera bit where I was going to work the concession stand at a movie theater. And we had to get there. You know how it works with movies, or at least used to. There's a block of movies. So there's like a 12:15 start, a 12:25, a 12:55, and then there's not another movie in some of these smaller theaters until like 3:05, right? So we had to get there to service the patrons for that 12 o'clock, 12:30 showing, right? If we didn't, we had to wait 3 hours. And I drove to the location. It was like an AMC, I think, in Burbank. And I drove, and Jake's like, and McClammy was there too, our buddy Wayne, who was directing. He's like, all right, we obviously have to make it here in time for this early block. And guess what? I did the same thing. I drove around. I drove around and around, and they were furious because it added at least 3 hours to their day. So now we had nothing to do. I got there, I made sure to get there right after the last movie played in that block, and so that we could just stand around for 2.5 hours, whereas we could have been done with the entire bit probably about 12:50. So yeah, that was another stupid moment by me.
I can't wait until it's going to be the best. And week one, when Spaghetti's like, he's not going to do anything. He's going to be he's going to be wearing his John Starks Knickerbockers tank top, full of confidence at the start of a football season, ready to watch Danny Dimes do it. And Sal's going to come in, I don't know, cut the cable, throw the satellite dish off the roof of the apartment building.
Yeah.
Kidnap Eddie Spaghetti. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm looking forward to it.
You know, I don't know what to root for now, because I've been squawking about Rodgers going back to Green Bay on Fox Bet Live. It's the only freaking thing we talk about for months now. And now, but this would be fun to stop Spaghetti from watching his beloved Giants. So I guess I win either way.
The one thing I'll say is that, not to belabor any further the Rodgers thing, but it is fascinating, again, that we're this close to the season. We don't know where these superstars are playing. Deshaun Watson, too. But Rodgers, the answer to your musing about why wouldn't they just wait till after the season, because what if the Packers don't skip a beat with Jordan Love at the trigger? If they look good, then it will take on. I know Aaron Rodgers is, undeniably a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best we've ever seen do it. But if the notion is, oh, Rodgers is just going to take off all of 2021.
Yeah, I get it. They're screwed this year without Aaron Rodgers. Don't you agree? Without Aaron Rodgers, they're screwed. So what's the difference?
Because what if they're not screwed?
Okay,
if
he's then good, it doesn't make the Packers look bad. I don't know. From the Packers' perspective, they I don't think they care. I think they'll wait for him to blink.
If Jordan Love is really good, doesn't that then hurt Aaron Rodgers? Like, oh, he won the MVP. Well, he's the reigning MVP. He's as good as anybody in the business. Like, oh, Jordan Love is good too. Oh, maybe it is. Maybe maybe Gutten Kunst and company built a really good roster and you could plug a middle-class QB in there and succeed. And now Aaron Rodgers is 38 and we don't know about his desire to play anymore and everything else. Like, a second-round pick is all we'll give for it. I mean, who's going to pay top dollar for Aaron Rodgers after he takes a year off?
We're saying the same thing. I think the Packers don't budge here, and because the worst thing that happens is the Broncos win the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, right? So let's work backwards from there. Don't let him go to Denver. I think that's – and whatever. If the Packers go 4-13, which I don't think they will in that division, they could maybe even win it.
Because you want to get something Jordan for him. Love. He's in the conversation for the best quarterback of the Super Bowl era. Yeah, is he not? It. Well, so then you got to get something for him. If you get nothing for him, that's way worse.
But so are they that spiteful at this point that they've gotten all these offers and they don't see anything they like, or maybe the offers aren't to their liking, or maybe it's just like, we'll wait and see. I don't know.
I think it has to do with you can't let the tail wag the dog. Even if he is the face of the franchise at this point, Aaron Rodgers can't dictate the terms.
Sure.
If you're the front office of the Packers, all these GMs, and it's not just in pro football, it's in every major sport, are suddenly wringing their hands like, oh, Jesus, look at what Tom Brady did. Look at what LeBron did. Look at what James Harden did. This is scary times for their relevance. And so they don't, but they're incented not just for themselves, but for all general managers to wrest control back from Roger. We can't let the prima donnas run the asylum, I'm sure is what they're saying here.
I think it's going to work out for them. Okay, hey, we'll see. 4th of July weekend, Dave. We were going to go over sides, win, place, show for sides, barbecue sides.
Okay.
But then I said, forget that.
Nah, oh, no, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, no. But let's do this. Greatest American sports moment. How about that? In honor of the 4th of July and celebrating this country, greatest American sports moment. You would think the Miracle on Ice would come on top. You get even odds for that choice. Women's World Cup win. Remember that? That was fun. 7-1 odds. Joey Chestnut over Kobayashi the first time. 25-1 odds. Hot dog eating contest. Or Justin James bets on himself. What a great American right there. 150-1 odds. We just spoke to him. I might take a chance on that. Will Justin James bet on himself in this particular bet, Dave? At 150-1, he probably would. Or you could take the field at -150. What are you going with? Greatest American sports moment. In honor of our nation's birthday.
I mean, I think it's the one yet to come. It's Justin James who just lost betting on himself, betting over 5.5 wins for the Detroit Lions. It's a pretty great moment for America. Listen, Miracle on Ice was great. I always list that as the greatest sports moment, objectively, of my life.
That has to be it then.
Red, white, and blue is great, but black and gold trumps red, white, and blue for Damashek. That's why I say Lemieux scoring in game one with 10 seconds left in the 92 Stanley Cup final against the game. Chicago Blackhawks, Nicklaus in 86 at 46 winning the Masters was grand. But ultimately, I have to go with 90 seconds left in, I think it was January of 2016, the Cincinnati Bengals claimed the lead against their arch nemesis, nay, the hammer to their nail, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Vontaze Burfict intercepted backup QB Landry Jones and promptly stood up on the field while the game was going, by the way. The game's going. In the middle of the game, he intercepts the ball, and he runs off the field into the tunnel, followed by a half dozen of his Bengals teammates. Never mind the fact that this is a delay of game that it goes unflagged. 90 seconds left in the game. The stadium's going wild. Queen City, we did it. We finally beat the big bully, Pittsburgh Steelers. 90 seconds later, the Steelers win the game and the rest is history. Greatest moment in American sports history.
All right. I see you really leaned into the American part of the Bubba. Like, not my favorite, not my most ironic. That's your greatest, along with great American Mario Lemieux scoring a goal. That the greatest American sports moment was the two.
How about Gibson? Games. How about Gibson going deep on Eck? That was a pretty good one, too.
Yeah. I think I'm trying to play up the patriotic part of this, but I know what you're saying. I would say it's when Jeff Galuli or whoever hit Nancy Kerrigan with the pipe. What kind of, I mean, you're talking about competition at its greatest Olympic moment. My God, why? It opens up and we later find out Tonya Harding, we pretty much found out she was behind it. Galuli, Stan, all those guys.
We got to get Justin James together with that crew. Yeah. Right? We thought he was committed. He thought he was committed. Oh. Take a look at Tanya Harding.
That's what he could be
that's
doing.
That's competing.
I'll match a Shaq if we're just going to pick a football game, but this is not any football game. This is America's team, and this is why this is America's greatest sports moment. Denver at Dallas, October 3rd, 2013. Tony Romo, number 9, 25 for 36, almost 70%, 506 yards, 5 touchdowns, 140 rating, and an interception at the end. They lose to Peyton Manning's Broncos, 51-48, but nonetheless, America's team, led by America's hero, Tony Romo. There you go. That's my big moment.
Beautiful. Yeah, that was grand stuff. Hey, by the way, speaking of that, where do you come down? I don't know if you and I have had this conversation on Olympic basketball players. I don't like us sending our best. We should be sending our third best, which isn't like these NBA playoffs have now been reduced to the best are all hurt. So now the supporting right. players from the NBA are going to end up winning this title. I say we should only be sending our collegians over there just because they would win more often than not anyway. Our collegiate players would win the gold medal, 4 out of 5 times. And then every once in a while we'd lose it and we'd be like, oh yeah, but we could send our NBA stars to kick your ass.
Yeah, I know, but it's that fifth time that I'm bummed out about. Like if we can get an affidavit every country to sign, like Australia to sign, like, all right, we're putting our seventh team out there, but just sign this saying that you acknowledge that we could kick your ass if we wanted to, and that you're not going to celebrate if you win because you know it's a tainted victory. Like, I can't see the other side celebrating because then the next year I'm like, all right, just send the best over there, you know? So that's me. I'm a big baby. That's what it comes down to.
That's the way you do it. It's sort of like, America.
Yeah, but you have to wait 4 years. It's such a long, it's not the next year even.
I hear, but America is to basketball as Damashek is to Connect Four. Like if America in the Olympics is like, yeah, but we're just treating this as an exhibition. We're not treating this as actual competitive tournament. It's how since I've retired from four, I'll have my fun. I'll play recreational Connect Four against you and your cousin Jonathan and other ham and eggers like that. Right. But if we were to play competitively, you would have no chance. It's the same sort of premise.
Is it?
You understand?
Yeah. No, I don't understand at all.
It's the same thing. Like, hey, take that. Oh, you won Brazil. So what? We were just trying. We sent our third rate back. That's what I do when I play you in Connect Four.
I know,
you get a fourth rate effort.
It.
You get a fourth rate effort from Damashek. You're not getting competitive, Damashek.
You certainly do. You're getting 500 at best, Damashek.
All right. You know what? I bet Justin Jane's next paycheck that I can beat you in Connect Four in a best of seven. You want to play, friend? Let's play.
Poor Justin Jane's. Hey, one more thing. This came across. Brady is endorsing, Tom Brady, that guy, endorsing Subway. And to me, this would upset me if I'm Coach Belichick more than the fact that he left and now excelled with another team. This is finally Belichick has a thing. He's a little slovenly. He can promote these sandwiches that are not really healthy for you. And then Tom Brady, who admitted, or somehow we know he's never stepped foot in a Subway, is now taking even this from him and is going on. Now, he's not going to be holding the sandwiches, as I understand it, in these ads, but he's going to be promoting Subway. And now this becomes his thing. Talk about outrage. How the hell does this happen?
I mean, I guess appropriate since he throws a ball for his living, but passive aggressive indeed, Tom Brady. He went out of his way. He could get Tom Brady could get any endorsement deal, I'm sure, that he wants, pretty much. Subway, no coincidence. Wait, who's the most recent pitch man for Subway? My old coach, who I'm looking to stick it to. This is a middle finger from him. Who's he MFing? Along with Derek Carr and definitely not Jimmy G. Bill Belichick, that's who. Tom Brady is sticking it to him with a passive-aggressive move. Hey, old man, Fats, guess what? Move aside. Here comes pretty boy Brady to trump you once again.
I don't like it. I mean, I don't know. I guess I get why Subway's doing it, but unless you're pouring like a kale smoothie on the Subway bread, I don't get the point of, I mean,
I don't get
like,
it.
Oh,
I don't
Brady.
Get it from Subway. I don't get it from Subway's point of view. Everybody knows like, well, he would never eat that. We're talking about it.
The point is we're talking about it. And eventually one of us is going to break down and go to Subway as a result, probably today, but
don't get the
from
tuna.
Their end, but you're right. Tom Brady to do it. He's got all the money in the world. He doesn't believe in the product. It's just an FU to Belichick. It absolutely has to be. That's the only reason.
Yes,
I'm sure
that's
he gets paid. But
I agree.
God's
and also, I don't like people. We've talked about the notion of like people who go to see Face Off, the movie, I think it just celebrated its 30th year, its 30th anniversary. Mm-hmm. I don't like when people go to see the movie Face Off and then they come out and they're like, it was so stupid. It was a ridiculous premise. The one guy took his face off and the other guy put it on. And then like, it's like, well, then don't go see the movie if you can't accept the basic premise. The other side of that kind of coin is, don't go to Subway and complain about the tuna. Who goes to Subway and orders the tuna? Right. It's like when my old man, he comes to town and he wants to get like, he goes to a deli and then he gets like the Mexican food off the deli. Like, that's, you don't go to a deli and order the Mexican food. Like you're reaching for that. Don't go to Subway and get pizza, tuna fish,
which is the fourth tier item at a restaurant or something. Yeah, I get it. Tom Brady. Wow, vicious Tom Brady. People need to think about this when they talk about his legacy, because I think it took a real hit, Dave. I do want to say, Jim, you have an addition to this greatest American sports moment?
Yeah, I was thinking Christmas Day, 1985, when Rocky Balboa knocked out Ivan Drago.
Oh, yeah.
He swung it. Wow.
Yeah.
To me, that night is marked more by the betrayal of the crowd, that they were, that they could be swung by that. Their hero, their national hero, making a statement. He was last seen, borderline manslaughter. Creed, our greatest champion, showed up for an exhibition that night, and Drago showed up with malintent, and he killed. I don't want to say murdered. I don't want to get myself in trouble, but I mean, he did take the life of the Count of Monte Cristo. So Balboa got into the ring to teach him a lesson, and you would think that the countrymen of Drago would be fully supportive of their hero, as they were for the first few rounds. But then Balboa hits him just once, sticks him good, and all of a sudden the entire crowd turns against him and starts cheering for the American fella. Even Gorbachev gets in on the act.
Well, now I'm confused. I'm confused now, because did Drago lift the, I don't even know what the hell the official was, by the throat? Did that inspire the crowd to first of all, it's ridiculous that the crowd would turn. I'll take every minute of the 2 hours of Face Off as take it on it on its word before I do any of that fight and how the crowd turned and all of a sudden started to root for Rocky. But I'm trying to figure out what it inspired him. Drago turns on the commander, whatever the frick. I don't know.
Like, I guess they got swept up in the moment and they started rooting for the humongous underdog, and maybe they're Russians second and human beings first. And maybe they got caught up in it. But I mean, I don't think anybody was aware back when that fight was made that Drago was taking the spike and maybe, you know, pushing the legal limits of what allowed one to get into the ring. You know, Balboa, of course,
he was doing the sticky tack for sure. Yeah.
Well, he went old school too, Balboa. He goes to Siberia and, you know, he just starts lifting logs in an empty barn. I don't know who he leased that from. I don't know who he knew in Siberia to find even that vacated barn that became his home for 6 weeks at least. Right. But, you know, the ultimate scene is he goes out for a jog, you know, he just goes out for one, you know, but it's cold out, so he has all his winter wear on, but he goes out for a jog, but the KGB, they're keeping an eye on him. So they follow him as he's running down the snowy road, but then he throws them for a loop, because he's like, I see you following me 10 feet behind me. So he runs off the road and the KGB, like, because he starts running through the snow and they're like, can't follow him now because he's off the main road. And next thing you know, he's running up the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
And then in the blink of an eye, almost without, I don't know anything about mountain climbing, but he doesn't have any of those stretchy ropes or hooks or whatever things these mountain climbers usually use. But nevertheless, next thing I see Balboa at the peak of a Siberian mountain, and I know what's going to happen. Drago, you're no match for Balboa.
You know? I would like to see, and Jim's right, it's a great American moment. It turns out to be a great Russian moment, I guess, too, for the fans. But I'd like to see an entire movie based on how he gets down from that mountain and where he's crying waiting. Please let me find that KGB car. Oh my God, I need guidance. I don't know how the hell I got up here in the first place. That I would watch. In fact, I think they did that. Was that Cliffhanger? It is Cliffhanger. You're right, Jim.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, now you've just done it, Sal.
Is Cliffhanger the sequel to Rocky IV?
I've never put two and two together. No wonder he's so adept at climbing that mountain. He's the Cliffhanger guy, after all.
Yeah.
I do frown on the lack of effort. I don't know. Maybe they're having a bad day, those KGB agents. But wait, the American pugilist outsmarts you by, like, here's right. how I'm going to get you off my track. I'm not going to be on the main road. I'm just going to go in the snow here. That's a little it. Bit. Like, well, what do we do? Sorry, Gorbachev. He outsmarted us this time. Yeah, it's yeah, it raises him. More questions.
What do you
than
mean you
answers.
Lost him? Were you following Usain Bolt? No, Sylvester Stallone, and through 18 inches of snow, he got away. All right, Joel, what you want to say something on this?
No, I was just surprised that Jim wouldn't go Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 3 at the Pontiac Silverdome in front of 93,000 body slamming Andre Giant. I mean, that's peak America.
Yeah. Right there. Well, I mean, Hogan beating the Iron Sheik was when we were having trouble with Iran. I think that would be the bigger pro-American moment, right?
Notice we didn't have any more trouble with them after that.
That was it. Just shut yeah. them up.
That silenced them, but good.
That was
hey,
good.
Hey, I want to say to Jim, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's, you know, if I can change and you can change, we all can change.
I don't think Jim can change, but I think, yeah, I get the
Gorbachev sign. In the middle of the Cold War leading a standing ovation for the American.
One more thing. You know, I'm thinking now, maybe I see why Spaghetti is so blasé about watching the Giants or watching the Yankees in the postseason, because October 4th, I believe, is a date for the Sopranos movie trailer release. I think he might be okay just watching that over and over and over and over again. I might be too. Very exciting. Checking. You didn't know that was Gandolfini's son in the trailer?
No, apparently I was the only human being on the face of the earth that didn't know that this movie was even being made, a prequel. So
he co-wrote it and David Chase wrote it also, right? This is going to be so much fun. I wish it were a series though. It would be better as like an 8-part series than just a movie.
Yeah,
keep it
right.
going. Keep it going. But that's going to be fun. I think that's October 4th. Yeah, Joel, babyface, maybe we have Lombardi on to talk about that. I mean, he's probably just not stopped. If we could just record him, I bet he's just talking about it all the time. So he doesn't even have to check in with us.
He's probably breaking it down just like every football game, looking at every scene. He's probably broken it down. Yeah, we got to get Lombardi on.
That's right. All right, good point, bad point. I don't know, Jim's abstained from the bad point for the last couple of shows. I don't know why, but Joel, what was the best point of the day?
Sal, you're getting our best point of the day.
What?
Absolutely, the NBA Finals should just be one game this year. We've had enough. The players have had enough. Like in Space Jam, they would never, we got to play a best of seven. Mm-hmm. We get it. We just one game this year. That'll be enough. Let's just crown a champion and get out of here before someone else is hurt.
How about this? Well, that's too ambitious. One game. How about race to 10? That's it. 10. Whoever gets 10 points. If it's the most exciting sports bet anyway, going right now, and you know, less risk of an injury if they're just racing to 10. And that's that. All right.
Jim, it really is. It really is, though, Sal, to your point. People used to always say, NBA, you can just tune in for the last 2 minutes. It's become the most dreadful, tedious 2 minutes of any sports watching is the last 2 minutes of an NBA game. You flipped it on its ear, you and the AAO boys. The best thing to see is the first 10 minutes, and the rest of it doesn't matter.
Sometimes not evening. Even 10, but like 3 minutes. We were out of there. And right, Spaghetti was really quick yesterday. Very, very quick. Poor Martin Weiss is on a 40 say. He's still waiting for the result, but was quick for the rest of us. All right, Jim, no bad point. There had to be something that bothered you with this hour.
No bad point. Just myself for being so negative for the past year. So I owe you guys an apology. I'm sorry. I had surrounded myself with bad people who just rubbed me the wrong way, but things are different now. And
you surrounded yourself with no people. What are you talking about? You stayed in your apartment.
No, it was you people.
Oh, we were the bad people. Oh, yeah, I see. Oh, I got it. Okay, I get it.
I hope you guys enjoy my replacement, Danny Bonaducci.
What? Oh, oh my God. Holy shit.
Wow. Wow, Shaq. That's
all right, Shaq, do you want to say that, Jim? I don't know. I might have stepped on your toes here about making an official announcement, but this is the last extra point, so I felt like Shaq should be able to say goodbye to you or something.
Well, I feel like one of the disciples at the Last Supper, seated next to our own Jesus Christ, our hipster Jesus Christ, right in the middle, saying his goodbyes like they did. I toast you, Jim, but not with a glass of wine, with the remnants of my smoothie here, my morning smoothie. I hail you, you know, bon voyage. And I hope to see you at a local tavern sooner rather than later. Let's go bend the elbow and relive the good times.
There you go. That'll be fun. All right, he's not done. We have laugh lines tonight, right? Who's on tonight, Joel?
We've got Ian Carmel, very funny comedian, Trailblazers fan, Ian Carmel.
Ian Carmel. You'll have Jim will be on that. He'll be on Against All Odds tomorrow. I think we have Joey Chestnut calling in, and you can listen to Sheck on Minus Three. He and Rachel Bonetta, they tear me apart about my fashion and style and all sorts of things.
Well, because I observed, it's not that you're of terrible fashion compared to like Eddie Spaghetti, or Joel. So you did a good job hiring people who have worse fashion sense than you. But Sal does do this move with the ball cap, like where your hair comes out of the front of it. That's not a great look.
I felt like we were allowed to do that. At a certain point. When did that turn?
I don't know, 1958?
No, that's not true. We were all kids. We had hair out of our head. At 20, we had hair out of our hat. Why are we hiding with little
out
hair?
Out of the front from the cap. But yeah, so it was a... more importantly, you should go back and listen to that Bonetta episode. She's dynamite on there. It's not just Cousin Sal that we dip into. We cover... We settle a lot of hash, I think. Mm-hmm. So I'll thank you to go and listen to that one.
Rachel Bonetta, host of America's Top Dog, as well as Fox Bet Live. Yeah, it's very funny.
What did you think of her her proclamation? I said Canada or America for the rest of her life. She said America.
She said America. Yeah, I know it. Yeah. She likes to destroy it on Twitter and everything. It's her favorite. She would never leave. She had a chance to leave. She's happy they closed the border. She doesn't want it. She'd rather her mother visit her here. Why wouldn't you? Right? It's the greatest country. I mean, Rocky taught us. When Rocky got to that top of the mountain, he said, Bonetta, America's your place. Stick with it. -3 twice. Lemon Pepper Parlay coming up with Martin Weiss and Rob Parker. I think Betting Academy is going to have an episode this week. Talk about cliffhangers. Yeah.
Don't forget when you talk to Chestnut.
Yeah.
Remind him the idea that would really, I know he's already the champ, but if he really wants to create some separation, he should do my move. Tell him order an extra thick shake and some gravy fries. That's such an intimidating move at the outset of an eating competition. Like, what the hell, this guy? Right. Like, you know, I'm here to eat for pleasure. That's, you don't want to hear that if you're there to slobber down. And worse than wearing shades at a poker table. I don't know why poker tournaments allow guys to wear glasses when the whole thing is the guy bluffing or not, is the dunking of water. We have to get rid of that because it's grotesque. And it kind of doesn't it cheat the spirit of the sport?
Yeah, it does, but you want to see big numbers, right? It's sort of like juicing the baseball, right?
Yeah,
like
I know, but I don't want to
see 8 hot dogs in 10 minutes. You got
to
get
I know, but it doesn't nauseate me to see somebody hit a long home run. It does nauseate me to see Joey Chestnut slobber a watery bun and all the juice from the hot dog falling out of his mouth.
It's not pretty.
Throw up like an Angels pitcher on the hump.
Can't it's not stand. For you. Don't watch Face Off and don't watch Joey Chestnut on July 4th. But he will be on Against All Odds. Check it all out. ExtraPoints.com. Free picks every day. And a reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like an underdog, but please remember, you're all my favorites.